Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you join as we face the issues each and every day. We look forward to your dialogue and discussion, your calls, your comments, your questions in relationship to the subject of the day. We'll be asking the question today, should Christians always, that's the key word now, should Christians always obey government? We're talking about the laws of the land. We're talking about what the government says. Government says today that it's legal in most states, that it's legal to murder a human being in the mother's womb. Government today says it's legal to smoke pot. Government today says it's legal to do a lot of things that's antithetical to the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. When the government makes a law and says this is what you ought to do, for example, ladies and gentlemen, I still recall very well, very clearly, when government ordered all churches in America to lock down, when they said that all stores and businesses need to lock down, and that churches were not essential, therefore they need to shut down. In fact, one pastor in South Florida was arrested, put in jail, prosecuted, because of still preaching the Word of God. How should we respond to laws like that, to edicts, rules and regulations like that as Christians? How should we respond? Should Christians always obey government? Are there verses in the scripture that gives us directions and answers? I say that we can find them, that we need to recognize them, and we need to obey God and not man. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you that you can join in the dialogue and discussion by dialing 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. That telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your questions, comment, dialogue, and discussion on the issue of the day. We're looking forward to your thoughts. Perhaps you've got questions about how we should respond. As Ezekiel 33:10 says, how should we then live? Perhaps you've got questions in relationship to this subject, or you've got comments, insights that you'd like for us to hear and have dialogue and discussion with you on it. Love to hear from you. 904-831-0917. But let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. Our position on these issues is not based on denominational dogma. It's not based on philosophical rhetoric. We do not base the decision and the discussion on these issues on some political ideological bent. We base it on thus saith the word of God. It is, I call it the truth book. Jesus said to his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then in John 14:6, the Lord Jesus says, I am truth. Further in John 17:17, thy word is truth. Very dogmatic declaratory statement, ladies and gentlemen. Thy word is truth. And Psalms 117:2 says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. We do not have to worry about a passing truth, a blip on the radar of truth. It is the truth of the word of God that endures forever. It is the truth of the word of God that ought to be the lamp unto our feet, the light unto our pathway, according to Psalms 119:105. I believe that it's time that we as Christians recognize what the Scripture says and that we're obedient to it. But truth is not sought for today, not sought after today, not looked at today as being valuable and viable. It is it goes back, ladies and gentlemen, to a statement made by a secularist, George Orwell. In his dystopian novel entitled 1984, George Orwell said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And that's exactly where we find ourselves as a people, as a nation today. Theologically speaking, biblically speaking, doctrinally speaking, politically speaking, economically speaking, we find that is true. You take one that stands for truth and it is lied about, dissed, as the world calls it. Dr. Scott Atlas, for example, was one standing on truth back when the plandemic of COVID first started. Dr. Scott Atlas said, "We need not have any vaccinations or shutdowns, just let herd immunity take over, and it will immune enough that it will stop the spread." They laughed at him, mocked at him. When I say they, talking about Dr. Deborah Birx and St. Anthony, Dr. Fauci said the same thing. They disagreed with Dr. Scott Atlas. They laughed at him, mocked at him, made fun of him, ridiculed him. And now finally, ladies and gentlemen, the scientific community is now saying that that is the only thing that can be a answer to the dilemma of the continual spread of COVID. It's not stopped by the vaccines, et cetera, et cetera. I'm talking about truth. We need to understand what truth really is. And ladies and gentlemen, it is the church that is responsible for the truth book, the Word of God. Very well spoken by former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that made this statement. He said, "Truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity," end quote. Further, former Senator Jim DeMint says, "What we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in the Christian church." This is the reason, ladies and gentlemen, I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus, that made such a powerful statement. Jan Hus says, "Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." And ladies and gentlemen, I challenge you with that statement each and every day. We need to seek the truth, to learn the truth, to love the truth, live the truth, tell the truth, and be willing to defend the truth even to death. That's a powerful statement. But ladies and gentlemen, I believe we're rapidly getting to the point in time in society where that will be the case in point, that if we stand for truth and defend the truth, there could be the death sentence as a result of it. The further we get into the society today and the world today, in the approaching rapture of the church and the stepping on the scenes of the Antichrist and the 7 years of tribulation, the closer we get to the eschatological clock that is before us and the calendar that stands before us, I think the more we're going to see that truth is despised, rejected, demeaned, and those that speak it and stand for it are absolutely considered the enemies. A good example of that, ladies and gentlemen, is the fact that the Department of Justice determined that if you're mom or dad and you stand before the school board challenging them for teaching your child the sodomite lifestyle called the LGBTQ agenda, or teaching your child the CRT, critical race theory, which is divisive for our nation, destructive for our foundational truth, parents that stand before the school boards challenging that are now considered domestic terrorists, according to a 32-page document by Merrick Garland out of the DOJ sent to the FBI to start the prosecutorial search for those that do that across the nation. That's what I'm speaking of rejecting and refusing truth. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo, Tuscarawas Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tuscarawas Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about backup power equipment. Tuscarawas Time's knowledgeable staff can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Ladies and gentlemen, Tuscarawas Time is located at 11291, that's 11291, Old St. Augustine Road, right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a gigantic flag and flagpole. Find that gigantic flag that's flowing at the intersection of 295 and Old St. Augustine Road. The base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tuscarawas Time. But wait, 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 there's some good news. Ladies and gentlemen, Tuscarawas Time is now hiring all positions. House and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tuscarawas Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly oriented environment. They're closed on Sundays, allowing the staff of Tuscarawas Time to worship in the house of God with the children of God as God's word ordained it to be so. Ladies and gentlemen, drop by Tuscarawas Time. Make an application for employment, wait for an interview, see what God does in placing you in the family of Tuscarawas Time. Tuscarawas Time.com. Tuscarawas Time.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a subject today that I believe should be understood and inculcated in the life of every Christian, every pastor, every Christian church, every conservative. If you're listening today and you say, well, I'm not a Christian, but you're conservative, that's all right. It's not all right from the standpoint of eternity, but it's all right if that's your position. But listen up and hear well today. We're talking about should Christians always, that's the key word, always obey government? And the answer to that question very succinctly is no, N-O, capital N-O. If I could say that very quickly at the very outset of this broadcast today. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll recall, and I touched on this a moment ago in the pre-monologue, you recall just months ago, ladies and gentlemen, when the government had ordered the nation to lock down, the government declared that the churches are not essential, the pot shops were open, the massage parlors were open, the houses of prostitution were open, big box stores were open, but churches were not considered to be essential, and therefore they were ordered to shut down. Pastors were fined, even arrested for having church services. Churches were ordered not to even have singing in the churches because you might spread COVID by singing in the church. The sad fact is, ladies and gentlemen, most churches, most pastors, most Christians simply obeyed the unconstitutional edicts of government. Hear me. It was unconstitutional then. It is unconstitutional today. And the reason I'm so concerned about it and so passionate about this issue, ladies and gentlemen, is because World Health Organization declared last week a global health emergency. Just yesterday, sleepy Joe Biden, the inept, cognitively depleted, laughable stock of all the nations around the world named Joe Biden. Joe Biden just issued an executive order declaring America's in a national emergency health care or health care emergency. That's setting the stage, ladies and gentlemen. Listen, it's setting the stage for the closer we get to the fall election, it's setting the stage for there to be a declaration of a national health emergency, a declaration of shutdown of America, a declaration of lockdown, a declaration that we cannot go to the polls and vote in person because of the possible spread of monkeypox. And monkeypox is spread in a sodomite community, and because it has spread into other areas of the community across the nation, now all of a sudden, every citizen, every moral, ethical citizen in America has got to suffer the consequences of what we're going to be faced with in the very near future because of a sodomite spread disease that's called monkeypox. In fact, the World Health Organization are planning on now changing the name of monkeypox because they say that if they continue to call it that, that it's a an affront to the sodomite, they call it the homosexual, LGBTQ, gay community. But ladies and gentlemen, we're all going to suffer the consequences of it, and we need to be aware of the fact that government's going to step in and try to usurp the authority of God and say that churches must close. That's where we're going. That's where the problems lie today. So the vital question is, should Christians always obey government? That's a vital question. There are a lot of folks today that do not have the answer to that, not found the answer to that, do not understand what is taking place in relationship to that very, very towering question. So, ladies and gentlemen, may I say to you, I'm looking at an article that is an indication, a clear indication of a church, a Christian organization, one called a church, that's bowing to the government's laws, edicts, rules, and regulations. I'm looking at an article that says the banner on a historic Boston church illustrates the decline of Christianity. And I use the term, it illustrates the bending and the submitting to governmental rules and regulations and edicts out of a church. This article says, on the front of one of the oldest and most beautiful churches in the country, the Church of the Covenant in Boston, hangs a large banner on which is written, "And God said, protect abortion, access for all. God said, ensure Black Lives Matter. God says, honor bodily autonomy. God says, defend the LGBTQ rights. God says, end voter suppression. God says, turn guns to plows. God says, abandon fossil fuels. God says, provide sanctuary. God says, abolish prisons. God says, disarm hate. God says, speak truth. God says, breathe. In other words, God says, love." This article further states, "If you needed one example of how destructive the leftism has become to mainstream Christianity, because both in Catholics and Protestants and non-Orthodox Judaism, this banner would suffice to answer that question." Ladies and gentlemen, that shows how, when it comes to morals and ethics and values and biblical doctrine and theological truths that ought to be adhered to by every denomination, if they call themselves a Christian denomination, it shows how it is so easy for Christians and churches, so-called Christians and churches, to simply be subservient to the edicts, the rules, the regulations, and the laws of government. So the question is, should Christians always obey government? I think, ladies and gentlemen, to the have a key to the understanding of that, understanding that question, would be found in Romans, the 13th chapter. I'll not take time on the broadcast to read those verses. It's the entire chapter, but the first seven verses opens the salvo in relationship to the question at hand, and that is, should Christians obey all laws, all government laws? Should Christians obey all government, always obey government? In fact, I will read a few of those verses. Romans 13, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers." Hear me. This, the verse 1 of chapter 13 in Romans, which is so disavowed and misunderstood by so many Christians today. Christians say, well, you know, Romans 13 says that we're supposed to obey government. No, it's not what it said at all. Listen to what it says. "Let every soul, every human being, every person be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God." End quote, the first portion of verse 1. "The powers that be are ordained, appointed, approved of God." It sets the stage, ladies and gentlemen, that government is a subservient government, a subservient to God. Government is designed as a servant to the higher power, which is God. Then it goes on to say, "Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same." For, Greek number 4, verse 4, for the Greek word gar, because government is the minister of God to thee for good. "But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God as a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore, ye must needs be subject, not only to for wrath, but for conscience sakes." In other words, we're subject to because of the consequences if you do evil, and because of conscience. Ladies and gentlemen, the scripture is very clear in Romans, the 13th chapter, that God created civil government. Civil governments are created by God as a servant to God. if the servant disavows and disobeys God, which is the master over them, according to the scripture, then that means that the rules, the regulations, the edicts, the executive orders, and the laws that are created thereby are that will be that which is disavowed by God and should be disobeyed by the child of God. Now, the scripture is very, very clear according to that Romans text. Government is to be a servant of God, not God a servant to government. Understand? It's a vast difference. Civil government is designed by God to protect the good and to punish evil. The word evil, by the way, is the word poneros from the Greek text. It simply means bad, worthless. So, hear me. According to the Bible, civil government is designed by God to protect the good and to prosecute evil, to prosecute bad, to prosecute that which is corrupt, to prosecute that which is harming the good in society. And further, any law, any ordinance, any rule or regulation that is in conflict with God's word and our Constitution is not to be obeyed. It's very, very clear when you understand what the scripture is saying and what is meant by that in the process. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at an article that is very, very clear in relationship to it. This article says, is civil government a creation of God? Question mark. It quotes Romans 13, 1 through 4, and it says what Paul is saying is the most misunderstood passage in all the Bible. Now, this is another writer saying that, but I happen to be in agreement with it. In Romans 13, he is not establishing a new principle or creating new laws or telling anything new at all. Nothing in the grant of civil power or creation of nations and the formation of civil government nullified, superseded, or altered the authority of God previously given to individuals and families or what we call today the private sector. Let me read that again. By the way, let me remind you, the telephone number is 831-0917. If you're on the internet, 904-831-0917. This writer is asking the question, is civil government a creation of God? Question mark. And he goes on to talk about the Romans 13 text that I read just a moment ago. And this writer says, nothing in the grant of civil power, talking about civil governmental power, or the creation of nations and the formation of civil governments nullified, superseded, or altered the authority of God previously given to individuals and to families, or what we call today the private sector. Further, he states in this article, the mission of civil government is therefore twofold, to punish wrongdoing and to commend what is right and to secure the individual rights therein. As to punishing wrongdoers, this includes not only punishing criminals, but also providing a means, hear me, a means of redress for private litigants who have disputes over breaches of contract, property claims, injuries to persons, or other damage. These are essentially the same means used for protecting our individual civil rights. The same principle is found in 1 Peter 2, 13 and 14, where the scripture says, be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be the emperor or supreme or the governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. This writer says further, nations were created and civil power was granted to provide a stable society for a safe and prosperous and happy and the happiness of the people in their private capacities. Nations and civil governments are merely facilitators for the private sector, not its replacement. Understand that. This writer says further, the legitimate role of civil government is very specifically limited to wielding the sword to carry out the wrath, the anger, on a limited class of wrongdoers. What we need to understand in Romans 13, this writer says, is not a command to obey all purported authorities that people have created. It only applies to authorities that's instituted by God. And there's no presumption that merely because some form of human government exists, that it was made by God. It is the laws of God which define and restrict all institutions of human authority, that people are to obey and respect those only. Once upon a time, this writer says, the U.S. government was the envy of the world. It presided over the greatest freedom the world has ever known. But as Washington's power has reached and grown well beyond its constitutional restrictions, something happened. It started to supplant God and God's laws, end quote. Footnote on that, this writer says, government became man's object of worship. It's idol. Government wants to be your one and only God, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, I couldn't have stated that any more succinctly, any clearly, any more clear than that writer has stated it. So, ladies and gentlemen, the bottom line is, we still have a lot of other things to discuss, but the bottom line is, don't let anybody tell you as a Christian that, no, we as Christians, if we want to be good little boys and girls, if we want to be little saints with a halo on our heads, we're going to simply bow and bend and submit to everything that government says. That is simply not what the Bible teaches us in context and with proper exegetical understanding of the text. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize that God is God and government is government, and government cannot supplant God and become our gods. And you find throughout the scriptures illustrations of, and we'll talk about those in a moment, illustrations where government tries to become God. For example, in the 6th chapter of Daniel, government signs an order, an edict, that says you can't pray to any god except to the government for 30 days. Daniel says, I'm going to obey God rather than man, because he prays to God as he had aforetime, according to the scripture. I believe we have Greg on the line. Greg, go over the question and comment, please.
You know, our founding fathers understood these principles better than the average political science professor in our collegiate setting today. And because of that, they framed the government, constitutional republic, not a democracy, a constitutional republic that reset the boundaries of government. The old system, that tyranny under King George, was a government where people perceived that that power flowed from God to the king, and the king had complete control, authority over the people, the subjects. And this new system, this constitutional republic, based on the wisdom of our founding fathers, understanding the scripture very well, and understanding how governments have failed in the past, they set up a system under which power flowed from God to the people, and people form a government, and that government has limited authority, limited yes. Power. And under that model, and under the statements within the Declaration, governments are instituted among men to secure our rights. That's what governments are there for. And somehow or another, this entire thing has been stood on its head, and you have leftists within the church, leftists within politics, that then quote one verse of Scripture out of Romans 13 and stand everything on its head and say, no, now you need to subject yourself to some tyrannical bureaucracy. And that is not at all what was intended by Romans 13. That is not at all what's intended on the Constitution. And interestingly, if you see power flowing from God to the people, and the people form the Constitution that forms the government, then you understand that very limited authority that they have, and every single public office holder is subject to the Constitution of the United States, framed and formed by the people. Understand, that's where the real authority, from the government, that's where the real authority resides. That's why every public office holder must swear to support, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. Now that is a proper framework in which to view these things.
Absolutely. I'm in full agreement with that. Very well stated, Greg. Thank you so much for taking a moment to call in and to express that, because that frames it absolutely biblically correctly. Thank you so much for that. Greg, I don't know if you have time to hang on and talk after the top of the hour news, but if you don't, I understand. But ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the top of the hour news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.